At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Did he? He's obviously going away to prison for a little while. But let's be crystal clear. When Diddy walks out of federal prison and, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't know he was out already. It's going to go that fast. At least maybe I hope it does. Because if we can make the next 2 years go like that, I'll take it. When Diddy walks out of a federal prison, he's not free. He's not out here reclaiming his empire. No. He's not hopping on private jets to wild islands or throwing rooftop parties with a smile and non-disclosure agreement. Because who doesn't throw parties without NDAs? You know, I think about it all the time. Every one of my daughter's birthday parties, everybody who showed up, thank you for the present. I love those cupcakes. Sign this NDA. Can you imagine? He will be on a leash. A federal leash, and a leash that's going to yank every single time he forgets who's actually in charge now. Which will probably be all the time. Just put him on a shock collar. Because supervised release is not some polite warning. It's not parole. It's not probation light. It's the court system telling you we don't trust you, so we're going to watch everything. Diddy's sentence included 5 years of supervised release. That means for 5 years, the United States government owns his schedule, his social circle, his privacy, and his peace of mind. And they don't need his permission to interfere. They already have it in writing, signed at sentencing. So let's walk through what that actually means, shall we, in practice? Not hypothetically. Because for someone like Diddy, who built his brand on excess, control, and access, this isn't just punishment. This is psychological warfare. The moment he steps out of prison, whether he serves all 50 months or gets a reduction from a program like RDAP, the clock starts. He has 72 hours to check in with his assigned probation officer. And by the way, it's going to be really exciting because Mark Summers from Double Dare is going to be right there. And he's going to be like, all right, on your mark, get set, go. And then the music's going to play. Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. And then he has to grab the flag from inside the big nose with the boogers and the slime comes down. That's how probation works these days. I know. It's exciting. Wait till family Double Dare and the kids get involved. Okay, I just made all that shit up. But anyway. He has 72 hours to check in with his assigned probation officer, not a manager, not a stylist, a federal officer whose entire job is to monitor and restrict his movements. That officer becomes the most powerful person in Diddy land. If Diddy doesn't show up on time or tries to play games with the paperwork, immediate violation, the kind that gets you dragged back into court or back behind bars. And from there, the real grind. He has to live in a home approved by the court, not just any mansion or rental property. It has to be pre-vetted and cleared by the U.S. Probation Office. And don't be fooled into thinking that means they just Google the address and check in a box. They'll pull utility records. They'll look at who else lives there. They'll ask who's in on the lease or title. If it's someone else's name, they'll want to know why. And if it's his name, they'll want to know how it was paid for. And once he's living there, they can and will show up unannounced, morning, night, holidays, doesn't really matter. If they knock, he opens the door. And if they're not coming to say hello, If they have reasonable suspicion, they can search the place. No warrant needed. His home, his closet, his safe, his phone, his laptop. It's all, as the Scientologists like to say, fair game. If it smells wrong, looks wrong, or reads wrong, that's probable cause. Same goes for his vehicle. Do you think he's going to keep himself clean for 5 years without any? He's not going to be cruising around without eyes on him. Traffic stops, random inspections, routine check-ins. They walk around the car and ask what's in the trunk. Is that a frunk? Oh, God, not again. That's baked into the rules now. This is the reality. He may be driving his car, but he's not in control of where it can go. And let's talk about travel, because this is where things get claustrophobic for a man used to flying across time zones on a whim. He can't leave his district, not even for a quick meeting to another state without permission. And if he wants to travel internationally, that requires approval from the court, not probation, the court. That means paperwork, planning, and a very damn good reason. Vacation is not a reason. Business is not always a reason either. And if he tries to sneak out or lies about where he's going, that's a hard violation. A one-way ticket back to the jumpsuit and a cell. Even if he stays put, he's still under restrictions. He must maintain lawful, full-time employment. That's a legal term, and it means about 30 hours a week minimum. Probation is going to want to see contracts, pay stubs, invoices. I'm Diddy isn't a job title anymore. If he claims to be working on music, they're going to want to see something tangible, distribution deals, publishing paperwork, income streams they can track. If he starts operating under shell companies or LLCs to hide income, that's fraud, and that's a whole new federal problem. Then there's the mental health and behavioral counseling. This isn't a spa day therapy session. It's mandatory outpatient treatment, often court-approved programs for anger management, domestic violence, and trauma, boxes of which Diddy checks a lot of. Yes. If the judge ordered it, Diddy has to go. Not once, regularly. He has to show up on time, participate, and stay in compliance with whatever the therapist or treatment provider reports back to probation. And if the counselor flags concerns, that goes in the file. He also can't own, carry, or even touch a weapon. And that definition is broader than most people think. Guns, knives, anything classified as a dangerous weapon, banned. If he's caught with one, or even in a home where one is present, probation can write it up. And yes, that includes security personnel. If he hires bodyguards who carry, they need to be declared. The licenses need to be legit, and even then, it's a gray area. But here's where it really gets suffocating. His social circle. He cannot associate with anyone involved in criminal activity. Sounds easy. So you consider that Diddy's past includes entourages, collaborators, hangers-on, people who may or may not have open charges or records. Probation will run names. If someone shows up to his house or studio who's a known felon, that's a problem. If he's texting with people on supervised release, if he's texting with people who are on supervised release themselves, that is a red flag. He also can't contact the victims from his case, not directly, not through third parties, not through DMs, assistants, accidental run-ins, or encrypted messaging apps. If a single communication is traced back to him, that's a serious violation. He can't send gifts. He can't comment online. He can't try to clean up his image by making amends that nobody asked for. Silence isn't just expected. It is enforced. Financially, the leash tightens further. He has to disclose assets, income, and expenses. Probation can demand tax returns, bank statements, even business contracts. Why? Because he owes a $500,000 fine. They want to make sure he's not hiding income or shielding assets behind corporations or family trusts. They'll ask about every deposit and withdrawal that looks out of step. If he's hosting events or releasing products, they'll want to see where the revenue goes. And then there's the drug testing. He'll be hit with a test within the first 15 days of release, maybe sooner. And then it's random. No warning, pee in the cup, hand it over, fail the test. That's a reportable violation. Refuse to take the test, also a violation. Try to tamper, now you're dealing with obstruction, and the judge will not be amused. All this comes with teeth. If he violates any of these conditions, even once, he risks revocation. That's when the court brings him back in, holds a new hearing, and decides whether to send him back to prison. Depending on the type of violation and how many times he screws up, he could serve up to 2 additional years per revocation. And that's not fantasy. That's written into the supervised release statutes. This is the truth. For 5 years, Diddy's entire world shrinks. Every corner has rules. Every step has to be cleared. Every friend could be a liability, and every trip is a risk. He used to live like no one could tell him no. Now, the no's come fast and in writing. There is no NDA that covers this, no cash payout that makes it disappear, no lawyer who can negotiate charm points with the U.S. probation office. This is mechanical, bureaucratic, and merciless. And it's what accountability looks like when the lights go out. So yeah, Diddy's leaving prison eventually, but he's not stepping back into the world he's left. That world is gone. What's waiting is a tightrope, long, monitored, and full of tripwires. The man who once controlled the room now gets controlled by the terms of his release. He can't flip the script. He can only follow it. That's the new life he's earned. That's the new truth about what happens when the music stops and the system takes the mic. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you'll find us. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.